Okay, here we go, hour number two, and we're going to roll through a lot of material tonight and bring you some living pictures, so to speak, of people who have made a very unfortunate choice and people who have not made that unfortunate choice but who have unfortunately not understood shedding, which is now killing people, we believe, and certainly causing a lot of injuries and grief. No question about it. There's a story here that's sickening. I'm going to bring Erica in here first, and then I want her to share the grief. This is awful, just awful. Hi there.
Hello.
Oh, that's kind of cute. What you been doing?
Just trying to keep up with the news.
The news? You mean the lies?
Yeah, the propaganda.
All right, we talked about this. I mentioned it. What did I mention it? Monday? I don't remember. I guess Monday. A baby. This is New Zealand, which is a true festering, hideous tumor of Bolshevik communism, and the poor people are stuck there. They're in misery. A baby who urgently needs heart surgery has been placed under the guardianship of the High Court. They took the baby from the parents. Until the completion of his surgery and post-operative recovery, which could last years. Who knows? The High Court was asked to take over guardianship of the baby, whose operation had been delayed because his parents did not want... Can you imagine this? His parents did not want doctors to use blood from anyone who had been vaxxed. How dare those parents? So because they wanted to protect their child from the dying and the contaminated, they took the baby. So, look, this is one instance, and I know there are instances like this going on all around the world, just as crazy, just as insane, like any parent who takes their 2-, 3-, 4-year-old in for a shot. Man. Okay, that's child murder, all right? Now, they're going to go ahead and give this kid transfusions of vaxxed blood, and the kid will die. Obvious. All right, enough of that. Sickening. But get used to it. Try to steel yourself emotionally, because you're going to see an awful lot of people that you know and care for die. And as far as dying goes, those that don't die quickly, who are injured and who are no longer able to work, no longer able to go out to the sports bar, they can't go for walks, they can't even wash the car, they're stuck indoors. Who's taking care of them? Somebody. And how many people does it take care of one person who is no longer ambulatory or able to go to the bathroom? 24 hours in a day, and it's an 8-hour shift. So that's 3 people, technically, potentially, for every one who is disabled by the biological weapon that the Department of Defense ordered Pfizer and Moderna to produce. Now, we don't know where it ultimately originated, and I have my own views on that, and Erica knows them, and I do not speak for her. But I honestly think this thing is so evil, so ugly, and so unstoppable that it might be worth considering that there was some off-planet help with it. Just a thought. That's all it is, just a thought.
I don't know that we'll ever know. It's bad. This is an existential threat.
And if you'll all kindly go, hold on, to the homepage and go down to guests, tonight's guests, right on the left, click on that, and look under Jeff and Erica. has a little ring to it, doesn't it? Jeff and Eric. Look where it says lion in the wild or huge animal park starts turning round and around looking at something and then goes to the ground in full seizure and seems dead. Where have we seen that before? Oh, you can go to Beef Stew's. You can go to Beef Stew's movie if you want. How many clips have we seen of humans who have been shot up, who are in a public setting, or an office, or a market, and they look up. They look up, 45 degrees up, and they start turning. Some of them begin to swing at something, and they're perfectly coordinated at this time. They're not quivering, shaking, they're not in a spasm, and they spin and they turn. And some of them really are angry and they're just scared. And I've looked at them, as I said, over and over. These people are fully conscious and cognizant of their physical ability. They have it. And then after they do two or three revolutions, they start to lose it and they hit the floor and they're just a quaking mass of protoplasm and they look dead or like they're dying. So take a look, click on that. And what do you see? I want you to look at this. It's a lion. It's not very long. And the lion is out there. It looks like an enormous animal park, or maybe it's the wild. And this lion is going around. Look at him, look. Look, watch him. Look at him, look. He's looking to his right, looking to his right, looking to his right. And he backs down. And then he starts to lose it physically. And he goes into a spasm, hits the ground, and begins to tremble all over, legs out of control, and then his head goes down to the ground, and he appears to be dead. Now, same exact profile that we've seen humans go through.
I know.
What did the lion see? What was he looking at? Now, a human, and I'm going to go out on a limb here. I've done it before. If a human sees something or is convinced that he or she sees something, I think it's been all men that I've seen, but anyway, what is it that they see? Do they see a demonic presence, maybe a dark shadow or something? Something that's very threatening. Because they really swing at it, trying to keep it away. This lion looks dead, and he was looking at something. He didn't get up on his back legs and try and claw something, but he saw something, and he was turning around and around to his right, looking to his right, and now he's dead. Take a look. Share it. We don't know what's
happening.
It's
really disturbing. Really disturbing.
If this is true, and this little overlay that we've shown with this video is the same thing that's killing people, that means there's a potential here that all life on the planet could go. The potential. P, capital P, potential. Certainly all mammals could go. We don't know about insects. They'll probably be around forever, but The mammals appear to be in trouble. We know that dogs and cats have died simply by being around the vaxxed. If you have a dog or a cat and you're out or somebody comes over, you make damn sure you know what their vax status is. And if they say they're vaxxed, say, please do not touch my dog under any circumstances.
Yeah, that's a good precaution. It is. I mean, these animals are very susceptible. Very susceptible. The cats in particular, probably because they're smaller.
Don't know. It's what this is a situation where the world and the solar system and the galaxy and the universe are stranger than than this stupid little species called human has any ability to understand. We don't know what's going on out there. But we can watch, and we know enough now. And I do credit all of you who have helped us and the work that we've done for almost 2 years now to make it abundantly clear that shedding is real. Well, we got a lot of laughter in the beginning. Sure. Yeah, well, even Peter McCullough now has picked up what we've been saying for about a year, that the spike protein is eminently shedding, and now the mRNA has been found to shed as well. And we proposed that a long time ago. So these things are being let out for some reason, out into the public. And I think the obvious answer is they've gotten 13 billion injections in 5 to 6 billion people. And it may be game over for those people. So what do they care? Because most people won't believe it anyway. That's crazy because the news didn't tell us that. I'd see it on the news. No, sorry. It doesn't work that way.
Yep. You're right.
Oh, I hate to be right. Look at the lion.
Yeah, these days.
Please look at the lion. And then go look at Beef Stew's diner production of Died Suddenly. You'll see. There's a couple clips in there. I'll bet if you did a YouTube search. In fact, why don't I do it? Let's see. YouTube. Let's see. What I put in here? Died Suddenly. Seeing something. Let's see if there's anything here. Don't know. Anyway, you've seen the clips, and the point is, it's happening to dogs and cats and lions. We don't have any clips of dogs or cats turning around and around and dying, but we do have certainly anecdotal stories of dogs and cats getting very sick and dying.
I've heard of many dogs having seizures.
Hundreds in England of dogs dying.
Cats died. There was an illness last year of dogs who had walked on certain beaches. They were getting allegedly that was the story, but
that was convenient, perhaps.
But no, these animals are subject to seizures and bleeding disorders.
Correct.
Cancers.
The people who see things or who appear to see things, I believe that they see something. I don't know what it is. I certainly believe that they believe they see something. So, why your hamster suddenly died? Maybe because you're vaxxed and you picked up your hamster is a story about that. Okay, enough of this fun and foolishness. Dr. Pierre Corey, MD, MPA, interesting here. We have, let me back up, rewind just a little bit. In any crisis, there have always been hustlers, opportunists, liars, frauds, deceivers out to make money. And my God, are there a ton of them out now making a fortune. And I'm not talking about organized medicine. I certainly could, and I'd be right. But these people are outside of medicine. They're selling cures. They're selling things to somehow allegedly reverse the damage from the biological weapon injections. The newest one is called terahertz frequency, WAND, WAND devices, okay? Helping thousands with pain and health issues. Now, the health issues are up to you to kind of fill in the blanks on that. Tell us what Pierre Corey says about it. I just got a picture of one here, too.
Well, Pierre Corey is one of the founders of the FLCCC, Frontline COVID Critical Care Alliance, And he treats quite a few long-haul COVID patients and now vax-injured patients. And he, in the past couple of weeks, have had several patients come to him after having purchased and used this particular terahertz wand device and have had severe relapses, severe. And he just put out a broadcast this week saying, I guess this was on Twitter, PSA, public service announcement, long haulers and vax injured, do not use this Fife iTeraCare or any EMF wand. So many have come to me with major and persistent worsening of symptoms. We are finding many therapies that help. This ain't one of them. Please, let's stick to science. And there were at least two notable vax-injured nurses. These were women that took the vax very early on back in 2020, December of 2020. And they, you know, were not, they were holding their own, let's put it that way. They were by no means cured of anything, but they were at least stabilized where their symptoms were manageable. And somehow they did come across this particular wand and began using it. And one of them, maybe a little bit too zealously initially, but the other one took it very, very slow. And yet both of them are almost as bad as the day that their symptoms began. Seizures, just a horrible feeling. Very, very sick. Very, very sick. And I think we have to be careful with these things that are being marketed towards these people, especially something like this. That, I mean, this is not any sort of medical device. This is being sold over the counter as just a consumer product. So it's had no FDA review. Not that that means anything anymore, but once upon a time it did. And people are making wild assumptions about, you know, this terahertz frequency range that we really don't know a lot about. Some say it can penetrate as deep as the bones, and that it will stimulate stem cells.
Where's the science? Where's the proof?
Well, yeah, it may do those things. It can improve circulation. It can improve hydration. That's great. But we do need a lot more data in order to determine, you know, what is the correct dose for these things? Should it be pulsed? Should it be a continuous wave?
That's not even
what duration?
Should it be
all over the body? There's so many unanswered questions with this. I would say it's a very, very potent device, and some people have had very good results with it, but it hasn't been around long at all. And, are these people who have been hurt by this thing going to be able to recover the gains that they were making? You know, the fact that these people are going into seizures again, you know, I'm going to take a guess that what's happened here is a type of reperfusion injury. If this thing is truly increasing circulation, one of the hallmarks of spike poisoning is this ischemia that happens because of the microclotting. And so when you have an ischemic tissue and all of a sudden you improve circulation to that area, you get this rush of oxygen. And because the cells are not prepared for it, you get a free radical storm and severe oxidative stress, which, you know, can go on to damage tissues and start a scarring process in some cases. This is sometimes seen after people have strokes. They can go into a seizure after they've had the clot-busting medication to restore the blood flow. So reperfusion injuries are a possibility in some of these cases with this disease. And increasing circulation abruptly like this when the body's not prepared for it could be very damaging. If that's
good
what's
point.
Happening. Now, this thing is also known to disrupt the hydrogen bonds in DNA. So it can break DNA. And you just hope the person has the capacity to repair those breaks. I mean, it's looking like people that are poisoned with spike don't have that ability to repair DNA.
Right. Right.
So there's a lot of assumptions being made about the safety of this thing and what it's good for and who it's good for. Everybody wants a cure, but I don't think I would be very, very cautious with something like this, anything that's using
Do you know how much they
frequencies.
Cost?
I think it's about $350, is it?
Probably about $10 to make at the most.
Could be. But yeah, there's no regulation on it.
No, there's no. We don't have the science for this. This is
now, just for the record, terahertz is the frequency or the bandwidth in between infrared and microwave.
Infrared. Yep.
And so, it's a little bit of both. It's neither one nor the other. It's a little bit of both, and it has properties
microwave?
Of both.
A little infrared? Come on. A little microwave never hurt anybody, right?
So, yeah.
Good. All right, here's another issue. Then we're going to jump ahead. There has been, encouragingly, a number of news stories about people wanting blood transfusions from unvaxxed people only. Now, the Epoch Times has a story about this. Nonprofit blood donation service starts matching unvaxxed patients with donors. What else do we know?
I think that's about it. It's a doctor in Switzerland, is it, that's trying to proceed with this? Naturopathic physician George Della Pietra.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I you know.
All right. Do we believe? First of all, do we believe that this blood is really pure and not affected by vaxxed or shed upon people? We don't know for sure. We don't know how thoroughly it's screened. Are they screening, 10 parts per thousand to look for spike? What do we know? And we also know that people are lying about their vax status all over the place now. You can't trust anybody.
No, yeah, I think it's going to be a long time before we get to a point where you can trust the blood supply again, if ever.
Yeah, just ask that lion, he'll tell you.
But, yeah, I don't know, at least there's some movement in that direction.
Well, the nice thing is there's awareness now that blood is not pure. It never was, but it's worse than ever now. It's death. It's like getting a shot. And I have somebody that I know or knew, and I told her, do not get a transfusion. Oh, it's Cedars-Sinai in L.A. It'll be fine. They know what they're doing. Do not get a transfusion. Why not? Because of the vaccine contamination that is in all likelihood in every blood sample. Because they mix it.
Oh, so it's cool. Yeah.
To,
yeah.
She all pulled. She got the transfusions, and I gave her 6 weeks, and that was about it. Dead. So,
you know, the
I'm
easiest thing to
shot.
Do in mm-hmm. these cases would be the directed donor, but their hospitals will not acquiesce to that right now.
No.
Nope, won't do it.
So, and then Nurse Anne has made quite clear, and there's more coming from Nurse Anne soon. I guess we could mention that.
Yeah. Mm.
She, if you have surgery, like let's just say abdominal surgery, look in your email. Abdominal surgery, they'll put a drain in you. It's called a Jackson something drain. What is it? Jackson P something. It's a JP tube. All right. So there's a tube. It runs to a bag. And it collects liquid in the area of the surgery, and it drains it. All right, this is normal. All right? What's a exploratory laparotomy.
Well, you make a hole and you go in and you scope it. You look around.
Okay. Well, they found a malignant mass in this particular patient. Then they put the drain bag in it. But what happened, Nurse Anne looked at the drain bag and it wasn't draining. She took the bag off and apparently squeezed the tube from near the patient into a receiver, a little petri-like dish. And the whole damn tube was full of what looked like amyloid or early stage amyloid fibril masses, clots. Looked like long tubes that came out of
calamari.
The tube.
Yeah. Yep.
So, anyhow, be careful. That's all. That's all we can say. All right. We'll have Nurse Anne on soon, and we'll have these pictures up maybe next week, we hope. So let's go over to the human side of the ledger here. And 30-year-old died suddenly, number one, number two. Is that a good place to start?
Yeah, we could do that.
Okay, go ahead, start.
My family in Victoria, B.C., British Columbia, just called. The nephew of their close friend, age around 30, was walking and talking at home and then fell over dead in 1 second. The white coat said it was lack of blood to the brain. This happened yesterday. And there's comments. So sad. My condolences. I was talking to some grandparents at hockey on my son's hockey team. They have friends in Victoria, and a 5-year-old son has seizures, 7-year-old having blood clots in his legs.
Oh, no.
Also,
oh.
A 9-year-old boy, co-worker's grandson now having seizures from his. They got it to play hockey. So sad. These are heart-wrenching stories. Someone else says,
they
we
got
are hearing
the shots.
So much.
Wait. Please.
Yeah.
They got the shots to play hockey because their parents wanted them to play hockey. Okay. They didn't walk into a Walgreens and say, I want that bioweapon. The parents got it for them. Now, how could a parent... And sooner or later, they're going to realize that these shots are killers. That's all they are. And that they killed their children. They killed their children.
Yeah.
Or they damaged them for life. How could you live with yourself like that? That's why there's so much denial. It's too much.
Mm-hmm.
I understand it. I get it. Okay, go ahead.
Someone else says, we are hearing so much of this happening, and I'm wondering if anyone knows or has heard how these people are feeling beforehand. Are they feeling sick, lightheaded, nauseous, difficulty breathing, headaches, or anything else? How scary to be absolutely fine 1 second and then dead the next. Someone replies to that. I've been reading stories with no warning signs at all. Not the usual feeling bad first, etc. And someone else says, if you watch the movie, you can see how quick and randomly it happens.
Right. Well, and again, I point out, when you watch the movie, and I think it's near the end, you'll see clips and you look at those people. I think some in the beginning, too. They look up. They all look up about the same angle. And they start swinging at something or putting their hands up like trying to block something and keep it away from them. And I'll be damned if that lion, you look at that video, that lion is looking at something, turning around and around. Something's up. Okay. Amyloidosis awareness. Now, we've seen the word amyloid and amyloidosis pop up frequently lately. And it wasn't around, remember? We began pushing it. We're not claiming credit, but we began pushing it, and then it was like a lot of people had to pay attention so they didn't sound like they were completely out of it. And I'm talking about people who are online. So they started talking about amyloidosis. Then it went away. Now it's back. It's interesting. Here's one. My relative has been diagnosed with primary amyloidosis in the lungs. Sound like fun? Day by day, he's finding it harder to breathe due to lung damage, due to the protein deposits in the lungs, of course. The alveoli, did I say that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. The alveoli are being blocked with fibrils. It's like microclotting in the lungs. The alveoli is where the air is exchanged with the blood, and the oxygen is taken out. Okay, back to the read here. Day by day, he's finding it harder to breathe due to the lung damage from protein deposits. He's on oxygen almost 16 hours a day due to pressure on the lungs. Even his heart is under pressure, and he has been diagnosed with pulmonary hypertension. Talk about a trying to walk around the truth. He's got pulmonary hypertension. No, he's dying from the shot and the microclotting in the lungs. I am not very clear with all the medical terms, but I have not found any good material on amyloidosis affecting the lungs on Google. Remember, Google is God. Is there anyone in the group going through a similar condition? Most doctors, they have referred, I guess, me to say, what was it? Read that.
Most doctors, they have referred to say that there's no cure.
Say that there's no cure for this except lung transplant from somebody who just died of the bioweapon. I wanted to see if there are any other options. Thanks. And there's a response. Have the doctors said if it is localized amyloidosis or is it considered to be AL amyloidosis? AL is systemic and treated with chemotherapy, while localized amyloidosis is not systemic and is usually not treated with chemo. The Boston University Amyloid Clinic has a specialized airway clinic that is headed up by Dr. John Burke. Dr. Burke is a pulmonologist and understands lung amyloid better than most. If you can't get the patient to be you, have the local doctors consult with him. I will post some articles about lung amyloids for you to read or give to the doctor.
Yeah, I wonder how busy Dr. John Burke is these days.
Well, that didn't hurt his practice any. All right, somebody just gets into the group here, the amyloid awareness group. Thank you for accepting me here. A friend, after a year of misdiagnosis and doctors undermining the problems, it's an odd statement, and doctors undermining the problems, has been diagnosed with amyloidosis. Haven't heard a confirmation on the type yet. However, his father passed away from it, with it, because of it, due to it. Also, hoping people here can help with diet ideas while he awaits some treatment and give me more insight to what it is. His symptoms are weight loss, passing out from seizures, difficulty breathing, swelling, very tired. Those are the main ones. Anyway, for the last year, he's been told he can't breathe due to being fat. He's depressed and believes it, but by no means is he fat. Then he only talks about dying. We have decided we are going to help by looking into what diets are good for amyloidosis and see what tips you guys have until they start him on the treatment, hopefully in January. Through thick and thin of this disease, we've decided that we are the only friends he has and are sticking by his side and helping by being his caretakers. Thanks for any insight and help. This is on a social media post. And we want to point out that this guy's in bed. He can't get out. It's going to take 2 to 3 people to take care of him. And those people are going to be out of circulation. They won't be able to work and do this. It won't last long if they try. This is hell.
No, that's hell the, you know, the cost of...
Right.
Or the repercussions from all this is how many people are going to be involved in caring for the disabled and the crippled?
That figure... Round just for
yeah,
fun,
well,
three to one.
It takes generally one person per 8-hour shift.
Yep.
So amyloidosis used to be, I've said this before, you know, a rare disease. Now, there is a hereditary form of it, but when it does develop spontaneously, it's usually much later in life, 65 plus. And there really is no cure for it. It's progressive because it's a protein misfolding disease. So in terms of diet being able to address this, no. There are some medications, drugs that can stave it off a little bit, but it's not really something that is addressed by diet, unfortunately. And then, you know, this injection seems to be superb at causing this condition, unfortunately.
Right.
So, there are more and more young people coming into this group, and it is difficult to diagnose. It does require a biopsy at a certain point. That, you know, if you suspect it, if there's reason to suspect it, then the confirmation is an actual biopsy. Of the affected organ, or if it's one of these, the systemic form, how they do it is a biopsy from a fat pad. Usually it's from an area on the abdomen, and they'll take a sample of that and stain it for amyloids.
I've never heard that expression before until you brought it up the other day. A fat pad.
Well, that is what it's called.
A
There's other names,
pad.
But a fat pad biopsy, yes.
How about a big gut? Never mind. All right.
Well, there's muffin top.
Muffin top? A muffin top. I could see that plural in the face of a woman. All right. A friend of this program just wrote and he said, it doesn't take 3 to 1 to take care of a disabled person. It takes 4.5 people based on a 40-hour work week.
Okay. That's probably accurate. Because it is exhausting. It's
so who's going to take care of these potentially billions of people who are grievously wounded by these bioweapons? Their friends, their family, and if that doesn't work, they're going to be warehoused until they die. So what's going to happen. Then we had you read a thing to me about a suicide today. Wasn't that today?
Yeah, yep. It was a vax-injured person that she's been living with just these painful, unrelenting conditions, and recently was given a diagnosis of MS, and I guess she just caught a glimpse of her future and figured I don't want to do it anymore. You know, there's no hope of recovery.
No.
And she did leave a couple of suicide notes, I guess. And
yeah. So she did
apologized
very considerately and carefully. She left her notes and she just checked out. That's going to happen oh so many times. It's already happening. Now, I got a note from the same gentleman who wrote, and he said, and I've asked him for a link if he's got one. Did you see the newest video of a person or persons having adverse reactions? Now they are making the oddest sounds, like zombies. So I'd ask him for a link. That I have not seen. Okay.
Let's go over to this myocarditis/amyloidosis, because this is rather interesting.
first... Okay, that last story?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it my turn or your turn? I can't remember. Ladies first, always.
All right. This was in the myocarditis, pericarditis group. Hi, all. I have not been diagnosed with pericarditis, or myocarditis. However, I am having very similar symptoms that most of you are having. Symptoms are deep chest pain, chest burning, heart palpitations, shortness of breath, left arm pain, abdomen pain, and back pain. The chest pain has been 24/7 and doesn't really go away. Sometimes it gets so bad I just stay in bed all day. I have recently been diagnosed with SVT, that's supraventricular tachycardia, racing heart, and POTS, P-O-T-S, postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. That's an autonomic nervous system disorder where if you get up too quickly, you get dizzy, and if you don't hold on to something, you'll probably fall over. I have been trying so hard to get a cardiac MRI. I have been to several cardiologists, and none of them will give me the prescription to have it done. They say the reason is because my blood work, stress test, and echocardiogram came back clean. However, my Holter monitor showed SVT, and I have also been diagnosed with POTS from a tilt table test. I got the vaccine, J&J, in April of 2021, and 3 months ago this pain showed up, and now it won't go away. Has anyone had this experience where it showed up later? Not related to heart, but other issues I have now are neuropathy, occipital neuralgia, cervical radiculopathy, and trigeminal neuralgia. These came early on after the vax. Now,
I like that. That's a good word. We got to try and patent this word, radiculopathy. That sums it all up, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it?
Radiculopathy. I'm suffering from advanced radiculopathy.
So these are all neurological issues that she's, well, many of them are neurological, in addition to this chest pain.
How about the left arm pain? Classic.
Yeah, left arm.
Heart attack. Yeah.
Well, my guess is, you know, a lot of times these people will go to have these MRIs and CT scans done of the heart, and it will not show that they actually have pericarditis or myocarditis.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of left on their own floundering. I mean, they definitely have chest pain, and they're in a lot of discomfort and sometimes shortness of breath. You know, my guess is some of these people are probably microclotting, and that's, you know, making it difficult to breathe and putting stress on the heart. But now she's had these symptoms, or she had the shot back in April of 2021. That's a year and a half ago. And I think that is probably enough time, if she has amyloidosis, for these protein deposits to be accumulating enough to manifest as these symptoms, sadly.
Okay. All right. Go on. Since you're featured in the next one, go ahead, do the next one. Number one. It's a good
okay.
answer.
Okay. Here's another one in the myocarditis, pericarditis group. There are so many heart and inflammation supplements, it's hard to choose. And I'm wondering if anyone has gone through a naturopath for that, i.e. pterostilbene, resveratrol, CoQ10, omega-3 and 6, quercetin, just off the top of my head. And someone says, none of them help our condition. And, yeah, for the most part, that's true. And my response was, any successful treatment has to first focus on stopping the myocytes and pericytes from producing the spike protein so that the immune system will stop attacking the heart. Intermittent fasting is working for some people in this regard. And someone did affirm that. This person said, intermittent fasting is the only thing that has helped me. And I think part of the reason for that is because nutrients and calories fuel the production of proteins, and when you fast, you give the body a chance to break down excess proteins that need to be disposed of or recycled, and you stop feeding the fire of producing spike protein. Because it doesn't look like this gene, this mRNA, is stoppable. So, I mean, this may be a situation where if these people want to manage this condition, you have to do this intermittent fasting or maybe extended fasting at times to just curtail the production of these proteins. I mean, another strategy might be just plain old protein restriction or methionine restriction, because methionine is the first amino acid that's required to begin the translation of the protein. I don't know how much people have looked into that. But these are strategies that are used for cancer fasting, and it does have some success in that regard. And it's because it gives the body a chance to clean out the dead and dying cells, damaged cells. So there's a couple more comments on this one. Someone says, try NAC. Now, that may be of some benefit because NAC does bind to the spike protein, and some have said it destroys it. I don't know if that's true, but at least binds to it and prevents it from being biologically active. Another one says, some have said CoQ10 and D-ribose, and I replied to that one, be cautious with these, as even though they can be enormously beneficial for supporting energy production in the heart, this extra energy may result in even more spike protein production. So again, the usual things that people would, I think, gravitate towards to try to help themselves may, in fact, be counterproductive in some cases. Yeah, and that's, you know, people don't understand what they're dealing with. They don't.
They don't
understand what's been done to them, how severe this is.
Doctors don't understand what they're dealing with. They have no idea.
No, I know.
Many of them.
I know.
None. I think the people who go in to see them often know more than the doctors do because they've done some research. Okay, here's another one. This is from the Safe and Effective group. It has to do with insurance. Thank you for letting me post anonymously. I cannot reveal where I work or for whom because of my employment contract non-disclosures. Today, within a federal U.S. agency, the executive branch issued a notice of suspension period for federal long-term insurance program. The Office of Personnel Management, OPM, has announced a 2-year suspension for applying for coverage. In my 25-plus year career, this is unprecedented. In other words, federal employees who were mandated to receive one or more servings at the buffet to work, to be allowed to continue working during the last few years, cannot apply for long-term care insurance for at least 2 years. The reason, quote, to ensure premium rates reasonably and equitably reflect the cost of benefits provided, end quote. I will add that there is at least one SD. What's an SD?
It's either sudden death or severe disability, maybe?
Okay, let's see where it goes. At least one SD reported daily, agency-wide, let's say sudden death, where it used to be a rare thing to see any death reported among our workforce. So when people can no longer work due to prolonged struggles, they won't have LTC coverage to provide for their inability to care for themselves. Ergo, either 3 or 4.5 people will be needed to take care of them on a round-the-clock basis.
And they'll be expected to do it for free. That's what it's coming to. So the person has no income and no ability to hire somebody.
None. Crazy. All right, here's one quickie. We got to run. Quick question that is really driving me crazy. What the hell do we do about the mounting doctor bills because of this crap? I'm so annoyed to think that I have to pay so much of my hard-earned money because we were bamboozled into taking this jab. I really hope we find a way to recoup our losses somehow. I could have bought a car over the past year with the way these bills are coming at me now. I've had to leave my job mid-year because I was not feeling well. See, here's another person. They're not feeling good. How many times have we said this? They stay home. They quit. They can't work. Because I was not feeling well. This caused me to start new insurance with all new deductibles, and I am not happy. Like we needed additional stress to add on to this BS we are dealing with? There's one response. Don't go to the doctor anymore. They don't have answers. I stopped going because they know as much as I do about this subject, which is totally new to many of them. So that goes again. To many patients will know more than the doctors will.
Yeah.
Totally true. Absolutely correct. And this is just, it's just egregiously evil, the whole thing. We are in...
And you know, much of it's being normalized.
Weaponized, normalized, euthanized, you name it. It's all there. Correct. Normalized. Death by bioweapon is now normal. And nobody is bitching about it except, oh, I lost my grandmother. Oh, I lost my aunt. Oh, I lost my other aunt and her 17 children. They all died. It's normalized. They did it. It's because it's not on the TV. You don't hear this on the TV. You don't see this on the TV.
No. And now, as I understand it, COVID has faded. The people that are sick right now, ending up in the hospital, have the flu. Influenza A.
No, I'm sorry. The flu went away for 2 years to the Bahamas, and we're not sure it came back.
That's what they want you to believe. Yeah.
It was always the flu. They just renamed it, and then they executed people with remdesivir. Mm-hmm. You all know that. Lots of people, as in millions. Today, we called a couple of hospitals to check and see what was going on. And we found that at one hospital, I called the ER, and I asked if they were busy at the hospital, if they had any rooms available. And the woman hung up on me. And then, was it my breath? I don't know. And then, what else did we hear?
The one you called, there was a five-hour wait.
That was here, where I am.
Average five-hour wait in the emergency room.
5 hours. You go in there, and you're squirting blood all over the walls, and you got a five-hour wait.
Well, they might bump you up to the front of the line, but you know, there's a lot of people. I think I'm listening to the calls in my area, and they're diverting now to other hospitals, which tells me the one they usually go to is probably overrun, overburdened,
too full. Yeah,
either they're short-staffed or I mean, they were busy today. It was just back-to-back to calls all day long.
Yeah. Okay. Just to recap, be careful about anything that promises to be the be-all and end-all, or that may in some way reverse this catastrophic damage that this bioweapon is doing to the human body. It's lies. Hucksters have been around forever. And they're always going to be there to take money from the foolish.
Well, and I have, you know, some particular reservations about anything in using these terahertz frequencies. We don't know enough about it.
Come on, a little microwave never hurt anybody. let's cook those damn mRNAs with microwaves.
Yeah. Yep.
God, it's incredible. What's going on?
It reminds me of, do you remember the back, well, this went on for several decades, when they used to use x-rays to size up people's feet to fit them for shoes?
The fluoroscopes?
Yeah, it was radiation. And it would, you know, it wasn't well contained either.
Oh, geez.
And you might get a big dose or a little dose, but it was, you know, very unregulated. And
that's funny. I don't remember that, but that's a good one.